Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to be in the first three verses, but I'm going to go ahead and read down to verse 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts and healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Paul's been addressing Corinth's disorder in their publicly assembly. And you guys remember we spent quite a bit of time in chapter 1, and it dealt with authority and order and accountability. We saw who our spiritual head was. It was our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw how he manifested his authority. He humbled himself under God's redemptive plan. And then we looked at communion. We spent about 3 weeks looking at communion, the Lord's Supper, and how we are to approach it. Now, in chapters 12 through 14, what we're going to see is the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. Chapter 12, the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ as he bestows gifts on the members of Christ, and how those gifts work corporately. Chapter 13, Christian graces flowing from love are more important than spectacular gifts. Chapter 14, the principles that should govern our public assemblies and how we're to come together. And I pray that as we look at these things, that maybe the Lord would clear up some things we may have thought or may not have thought, and we would be open as well to maybe some new things the Lord is showing us. But before we can look at the gifts, we need to look at the giver of those gifts. We need to look at the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, John, and the rest of the guys when he was about to leave? Remember, they were all shaken up. And think about this. They lumped their whole life into Jesus. They walked away from their nets. They walked away from their stuff. And they've been following him for 3 years. And Jesus says, guess what? I'm about to go away. That would freak me out. Now, when we look at the Gospels and we look at the relationship that our Lord Jesus Christ had with those disciples, I mean, every one of us, who would like to see Jesus physically and sit down with him and hang out with him? I think all of us would, right? But do you realize that Jesus said, guess what, man? You're going to have something better than what these guys had. We had the great gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said in John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He didn't leave us. And the Holy Spirit, what an incredible gift who the Holy Spirit is. And we don't need to be ignorant of who he is, and we don't need to be ignorant of the gifts in which he has given each of us in this room. First thing we need to know about the Holy Spirit, he's the third person of the Trinity. Remember, he's not an it, he's not a force, he is a person. Sometimes when folks think of the Holy Spirit, I think they think of him as the force in Star Wars. Run, Luke, run! Okay, you remember that, don't you? Instead of a person, he's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. It's not just some kind of mystical thing. He is a person. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. And not only that, we have a threefold relationship with him. John 14, verse 17, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. First, the Holy Spirit dwells with us prior to conversion. When you think about it, if we got saved, it was because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because someone tried to sell us on who Jesus is. Who was really interested in Jesus before they were convicted by the Holy Spirit? No one was interested in Jesus. Who was interested in His Word? I can say that, you know what, I had no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ before I got saved. But through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and seeing a manifestation in the God that I worked under every day, I was convicted. When I was younger, I had a problem with cursing. If you work in blue-collar work and you work around men, you hear colorful language, okay? So as a young man, and especially just being around my friends, I picked up colorful language. But I want to tell you something. Being around a guy who was hungry after the Lord and seeing him not get frustrated over things and had this slew of adjectives, it convicted me. I didn't say those kind of things around. Now, eventually, through his witness, I ended up coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I think, you know what, we need to understand that it takes the pressure off of us in witnessing. If we think that it's all up to us, man, all up to in our... Did you ever see some of these Christian tracts that people hand out? They're kind of goofy. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit is behind those things and the Holy Spirit is working, people get saved because of those tracts. Remember what it was like when you got saved. Was it because of the presentation? Or was it because all of a sudden the realization, I am eternally separated from God. I have a sin problem. I need Jesus. Secondly, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us after our conversion. Okay, Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." I like to say we get new spiritual DNA. The Holy Spirit takes residence up inside us. We're no longer our own. We're different. And we're sealed. And you know what? You know when you're saved. You know when you're saved because there's identification with the Spirit. You know that you know that you know that you're saved. You just got that security. But also, thirdly, and it's often overlooked, the Holy Spirit fills us and overflows us to impact the culture around us, which you get to come upon. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Remember, Jesus desires our life not to be a stagnant pool, but a place of living water for His glory. When you think of a stagnant pool, it stinks, it's gross, it's green. There's really no life in it, is there? Maybe some mud cats. You ever ate a mud cat? Some of you don't know what a mud cat is. You don't eat mud cats. I wouldn't eat a mud cat. I never ate a mud cat. They're pretty nasty. It's a catfish that just kind of sinks in the mud and it hangs out in stagnant places. Or who would eat a loggerhead turtle? I wouldn't eat a loggerhead turtle. Some people might. Here's my point. The Lord desires us not to be a stagnant pool, but a living water for His glory. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39 says, "On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and He cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those in believing Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." A.W. Tozer said this, "If we really mean business about pressing on to follow the Lord, we will be brought to the conclusion that it was His plan and part of the purchase of the blood of Christ that He should fill everyone who names on the name of Jesus. There isn't anything about a Spirit-filled life that is abnormal, strange, or queer. Actually, it's the way Christians are supposed to be." And one last thing, as we will see, how do we know, and we're going to look at this a little more intently, how do we know when it's a work of the Holy Spirit? Because there's a lot of things that goes on within the body of Christ that's not necessarily a work of the Holy Spirit, but people say it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And usually when we start talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, it seems like there's two camps. There's not a real balanced view. There's folks that just see the Holy Spirit as a doctrinal statement, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's pretty much ignored. But then sometimes there's the other extreme where you look at what's biblically going on through the eyes of Scripture, and you say, I'm not really buying that either. We need a balanced view of who the Holy Spirit is. So how do we know when it's a work of the Holy Spirit? Here's one way, and this is one simple way, and this is from what the Bible says. John 16, verse 13 through 14. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. When it's a work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ comes to the forefront, and He's the focal point, and people get a clearer picture of who Jesus is, not so much the individual that the Lord may be using. I think Chuck Smith says it just so grandly. He says, you don't glory in the vessel, you glory in the Lord. So if it's all about the vessel or whatever being pumped up and used up, and Him, and that's what's coming forward, I got to question whether it's the Holy Spirit. If it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is clearer and people are getting a clear representation of His heart, then you know what? That's a good way. That's a good place to look. Someone once described the work of the Holy Spirit as such. Imagine this: when you were in school, or maybe your company, that the President of the United States is coming to speak to your company, right? The lights are down, the podium's set, the spotlight comes up, the President walks forward, and some of you are really thinking, President, I know what you're thinking, okay? I know what you're thinking. He comes to the podium, He gets ready to speak, and everybody turns and claps. Man, look at that spotlight! Here's the point. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and shines spotlight on the Son. Jesus is the central figure of time and eternity. Look at Revelation 5, verse 11 through 13. Then I looked and I saw the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures, elders, and a number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with one loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea and are in them, I heard a saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever and ever." Our Lord Jesus Christ comes to the forefront. And guess what? We're going to spend all eternity of glory in who He is. So why should we not start now? Spiritual gifts, let's don't be ignorant of them. And here's how we know if it's a work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue with this thing. Three things Paul wants believers at Corinth to know up front. Look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Spiritual gifts are literally spirituals. Gifts was added for clarity, but at the original it was simply spiritualities, referring to the entire realm of the manifestation of the Spirit. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, these were a gifted group of folks. They were very gifted. Before Paul ever started working through the issues within the fellowship, he commended them on a few things. He says, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything in Him and all utterance and knowledge, and the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you so that you come short in no gift. These guys had knowledge. They were doing work outside of the walls. But not only that, they were a spiritually gifted group of folks. But they were also carnal as well, as we found out in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and 3, when he says, hey, I'd like to speak to you as spiritual people, but you're carnal as babes in Christ. And being carnal is being fleshly. Okay? You know, you can be a moral person and you can be fleshly. You can be an immoral person and you're like, well, yeah, I can see that's being fleshly. But think about this, when someone is moral and they're upright and they're overly legalistic, is that not carnal as well? Here's the point. When we're carnal, we're fleshly, and we open ourselves up to miss some things, because when we are carnal, we believe we have arrived. We believe we figured it out. We're carnal and we're prideful. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in the life of the fellowship. And this is not the first time Paul used the word ignorant. Ignorance is not a bad word. You might get offended by it. You might not want to be called ignorant, but think about it. Ignorance is not knowing. Way back when, in machine shop, early on, when I was a young pop and working around older guys, they had no problem making fun of you and making you feel stupid. Okay, that just was part of that's how that thing operated. You know, you'd go to work there and you'd ask them this question, you'd ask them that question, and you know, they like to give you a hard time. So later on, when I was older, I didn't do that to people because it really bothered me. So I had this guy one time who was going to drill a hole, and the tool that he chose to use to drill in metal was a wood paddle bit, not the best choice. Okay? It wasn't a twist drill. A twist drill, it was made for wood. Those things don't really even drill good on wood, if you want to be honest. So anyway, he's over there doing whatever, and he says, "I'm having a problem. I think I messed up this bit." And I walked over there, and I saw what he was doing. I was like, "Man, that's a paddle bit for wood. That's not what you need. You need to get a twister. Now the upside is he got the right size, but it was the wrong drill. And, you know, he felt totally stupid. I would have felt totally stupid. You know what the Lord impressed upon me to say to him? I say, "Hey, look, you know what? I didn't know how to tie my shoes until someone told me." Think about that for a moment. Where are you going with this, Johnny? Being ignorant, not knowing, is not such a bad thing. But here's the thing we need to think about. We don't want to remain in that state. And Paul doesn't want these guys to remain in that state. He doesn't want them to be ignorant and not know about the total manifestation of who the Holy Spirit is. These guys were a gifted group of folks. They had some knowledge, but they were ignorant in the way in which the Holy Spirit was working within the fellowship. And not only that, we look at some of the things that have gone on in that fellowship and we're just like, what the heck? Paul also said, don't be ignorant of God's plan for Israel in Romans 11, verse 25. He also said, don't be ignorant of Jesus coming back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And is that not God's heart for us, not to be ignorant and not knowing? In light of everything we studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, think about this just for a moment. How patient was the Lord before He decided to instruct these guys on the fact and the way they were using and misusing and going about the ministry to point them back to the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't just jump into this. He pointed them back to communion. He pointed them back to the cross. He pointed them back to the fact, hey, I want you to remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I'm blown away by that because he's so patient with us. You think about that just for a moment. I have learned since having a 3-year-old that I'm in need of more patience. I didn't know that until I had a 3-year-old. Because, you know, I mean, this dude has got like a 5-second attention span. You feel like just a repeat machine. You know, I just want to record myself just so I can do this. And when I get impatient, you know what the Lord says to me? He says, you know how patient I am with you. You know how patient I am with you. And then that puts everything in perspective, right? Paul says, I don't want you guys to be ignorant. I think the Lord would want us to hear this as well. Don't be ignorant. Verse 2, look at this. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols, however you were led. Secondly, don't base the things of God on our previous background. Remember, our previous background was way off base before we came to saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Paul wanted these guys to understand that their past pagan practices did not prepare them for accurate understanding in who the Holy Spirit is and how the spiritual gifts work. In the same way for us, it can be very easy to have a poor understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. Seeing and mistaking imitation for inspiration, meaning instead of being Spirit-led, looking at, well, they're doing that over there, why don't we just do that right there and see if it'll work right here? Did you ever think God wants to do a unique work in the different fellowships and how He wants to reach and how He wants to minister to different people? There's a select group of people that God is calling us to minister to, if you think about that. That should be our focus. Who are they? Whoever walks through the door. Who are they when we're around Walmart and hanging out and doing this and that person comes up or whatever and starts telling us a story? That's an opportunity. Or when we're at the restaurant, that person that's serving us, what an awesome opportunity to check in with them and pray with them. Being open to what the Holy Spirit and His leading and how He is wanting to do. It's not a formula. It's not a formula. Now, there's some things that we need to be doing. Teaching through the Word, celebrating communion, being a people of prayer. But not only that, we need to be open to what God is calling us to do and then how He wants us to do it. And being open is being open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our Lord never desired us to just stay a stagnant thing. He desires us to have a life that is just overflowing and impacting lives. I never forget this. I was allowed to be on a couple of, the fellowship I came out on, they would form a committee. Okay? They would pick some people or whatever, form a committee. And then that committee would be responsible to go through applications for different people who were being hired on at the church. Okay, that's the terminology I'm using because that's the terminology that was used. All right? And so we would go through these applications, and normally it would be whoever looked the greatest, probably, looking back on the whole thing. We'd spend some time praying, a little bit probably, asking the Lord to bless our thing, if you want to get honest. And then that person would be brought before a personnel committee who would do the hiring and the firing. Now, there was a lot of firing going on, and you wonder why. Well, because why? We were trying to work through a system. We were trying to look for the best person who fit the job according to that piece of paper instead of who does the Lord want to use and how does He want to use that person. Well, see, I've grown a lot since then and I've learned a lot since then. That's why, you know what, I don't necessarily work by common sense. You think of the people that the Lord chooses to use. Think about that just for a moment. Look at some of the folks that the Lord chooses to use. You look at some of these Calvary Chapel pastors that have a hippie background and have all kinds of... Just think about this just for a moment. If you were to see a Mike McIntosh when he was 18 years old and he was a hippie, long hair, probably didn't have a bath, barefoot, tattered jeans, maybe a little spacey, would you say, hey, that guy's going to be a pastor of a huge church? No, not that guy. What about Greg Laurie? No, not that guy. What if your King David's dad? Your King David's dad. Well, here's my oldest son. This has got to be the guy, Samuel. No, sorry. That's not him. Well, we've got one more left. What's he doing? Oh, he's that punk out there taking care of the sheep. We want him out from under our feet. Well, go get him. And the Lord says, that's the anointed. That's the guy. And so many times, is that not how we view things? Instead of how the Lord is calling, how the Lord is moving, and how the Lord is wanting to use. Now, take this into your thoughts as well. You could be that David. You know, so many times we look in the mirror and we write ourselves off and we count ourselves short as well. Instead of what did God say and what is God calling you to do? The plans that we have for our life does not compare to what the Lord wants to do to our life. I shared a quote Wednesday night. A group of pastors were wanting to bring D.L. Moody in for an evangelistic crusade, and there's this young pastor who stood up and he says, why do we got to bring D.L. Moody in? Was he got a monopoly on who the Holy Spirit is? And then after a little bit of silence, there was this older pastor who stood up and he says, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on who D.L. Moody is. Think about that for a moment. The Spirit-filled life, opening ourselves up to be filled with the Spirit, to impact those around us with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only that, to build up the body of Christ. Because guess what, man? The gifts that we're going to look at really has nothing to do with us, as we're going to see. It has everything to do with the person sitting next to us. If we're going to be competitive about anything, let's be competitive about blessing someone else. we were talking about, Stephen was sharing, he has a friend that's overly competitive. And I learned early on, I used to be competitive, and I think that's just from being short, okay? But I learned early on within the body of Christ that if I'm overly competitive and I'm not just trying to be, that alienates me from people. That alienates me from people. And think about that. That bleeds, that competitiveness sometimes bleeds within the body of Christ. Well, I've got this and this gift. And that's not what it's about. Because if it's a work of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus comes forward and He gets all the glory and He's the one that's exalted. And then everybody gets blessed. If we're going to be competitive about anything, let's be competitive about the fact that, you know what? I want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to impact you and see you edified and see you built up. What an incredible thought to have. Thirdly, judge spiritual things on how they relate to Jesus. Do they glorify Jesus? And that's really our theme for this morning. Who the Holy Spirit is, the work of the Holy Spirit, and how do we know if it's the Holy Spirit? Now look in verse 3. Paul says, "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." There was a rumor going around that a person could unknowingly, if praying in the Spirit, could curse Jesus, and that's simply not true what Paul is saying. Jesus said this about Himself. When the Holy Spirit would come, that He would do what? He would testify of me, John 15:26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me." Jesus also said this about the Holy Spirit. "He will glorify me," John 16:14. I've already shared it once. "He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. In discerning matters of spiritual gifts, remember to judge them based on how they relate to Jesus. Do they glorify Jesus? Do they promote the true Jesus or promote the false Jesus? How do we know if it's a true Jesus or a false Jesus? We need God's Word as well. Because if we get away from teaching God's Word, then anytime we get away from going through the Scriptures, we will have an unbalanced view of things. And that's just straight across the board. You get away from the Scriptures and going through the Scriptures, and then, you know what, I got saved in a church that did topical studies, and the Lord used it, and He grew me. But I want you to understand, until I started reading through the Scriptures, verse by verse, line by line, every year, teaching through the Scriptures, I had an unbalanced view of things. I would be blown here, or I would be blown there, or the latest thing that come down the pike. I mean, you just think of the 2000s and all the different things that come down the pike in Christendom. I can think of one book that people just, churches were teaching that one book in 2000. I'm not going to name it. I can think of the different little slogans. What would Jesus do? I can tell you what He would do. He would deny Himself, and He would go to the cross. That's what Jesus would do. I mean, you just go on. I can think of this one book, The Prayer of So-and-So. You see what I'm saying? All these different things. You get away from the Scriptures, we get an unbalanced view of things. We judge Jesus on how He's based in the Scriptures. John 14, verse 23 through 26, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I've said to you." What all has Jesus said to us? We got the full canon of Scripture. It's important. We get away from God's Word. We get away from God, which means we open ourselves up for carnality, being fleshly, which brings us back to being Spirit-filled. Who desires to be Spirit-filled? I think all of us do. Not so we can be an all-star, but that the Lord would be there. What is it like when you share the good news with Jesus and someone gets saved? I can't think of anything that's a greater experience. Or, what's it like to sit down with a brother or sister when they're sharing your heart and they're broken And the Lord gives you that word of knowledge right there that they needed to hear at that moment. What is that like? What is that like? What is it like to unknowingly just sense that there's something wrong and put yourself out there and go up to that person and say, you know what, the Lord led me to talk to you. I believe that there's something going on with you. And can I pray for you? You want to talk about it? And then have that person open up and share. That's the Spirit-filled life. And as we're going to see, it's really going to be based upon love when you think about being full of the Holy Spirit. What's it like? There is not anything greater, I believe, on this planet than knowing what we've been gifted in and the gifts that we've been given by the Lord, and then having the Lord use them, and He gets the glory and His name is magnified. There's not anything better on this planet if you're a Christian. Who in there feels like they're not talented at anything? I mean, I can't think of anything that I feel like I'm... Stacy, you're a guy, right? Yeah, you're a guy. That's dumb. I'm pretty sure you are. You're a hairy guy, so yeah. As a guy, if you don't feel like you can do something really good, do you even mess with it? You want to do something good. I mean, that's how I am. If I can't feel like I can do it really well, I don't want to do it. It's like pulling teeth to do it, and then I'm not ever satisfied with it. I mean, machine shop about drove me nuts. I am serious. 25 years of trying to hold close tolerances and making things to print and all this other. I go to build something, and if it's out of square just a little bit, it messes me up. It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. Fred, is there one house that is perfectly square that's built? No. It's got to be way out of square for you to notice, right? I'm talking it's got to be like 3 or 4 foot for you to notice. Quarter inch? Sometimes, if you got a good eye. Here's my point. I want all of us to understand, and as we're going to see, that we've been gifted in some manner. And God has uniquely talented each one of us to bless the body of Christ here and our brothers and sisters out there. Don't buy that lie. Oh, I think that's what some people do sometimes when they think about serving. You know, if I had my choice in what I would be gifted in, it would be singing and playing the guitar. And everybody's laughing because you've heard my podunk voice. All right? Can you imagine? I know some pastors that when they go out and plant a church, they're so dog-hearted on this thing, I'm just going to learn the guitar and lead worship. You didn't bless anybody. Can you imagine that? Okay, guys, I'm just going to lead worship. You're laughing. You're like, would you play a CD? Every one of us is important. That's what I'm trying to get. And to get tuned in to what God has for you. What God has for you. And as we're going to see, as we look at He individually distributes your gift as He wills. When I think about that, I think of Psalm 139. When God describes how He created us very uniquely. You look at the room. No one in this room looks the same. Our personalities are different. Our gender is different. Our stature, our physical. Think about it. Everyone in this room has been created in a unique manner to glorify God. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Don't be ignorant. And don't be scared. Some people, when we think of being the Spirit-filled life, we think of being full of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've seen things that scares us off from that. Have a biblical view of the thing. A Spirit-filled life is about overflowing in the lives around us. And when it's about Jesus, it will look like Jesus. John 13, verse 14 through 17. What did Jesus said? If your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done for you. And most assuredly, a servant's not greater than his master. If we're going to be competitive, let's be competitive about washing our grungy feet. Okay? in the weeks to come, I pray we'll grasp the gifts the Lord gives us. And the more we do, the folks around us, we're going to be blessed. Warren Wiersbe once said this, "The Spirit gives us gifts so that we can serve Christ and His church for the profit of all and not our own selfish enjoyment." Have you discovered what the Spirit has given you? Have you thanked God for it? Are you using your gifts under Christ's lordship? But before we begin looking at the spiritual gifts next week, two questions. Number one, and it's very important, are you saved? Have you come to saving knowledge who Jesus is? Because if you're not, well, you're not His. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You get sealed with the Holy Spirit. But number two is this. If you're saved, you know you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, but are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And we know when we're filled and not filled, and we know if we've never have really been filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to share my testimony and how I ended up coming to Calvary Chapel. I got saved in a denominational church, and I loved that church. There was great people in there, and the Lord allowed me to grow and do different things there. And to be honest with you, I was very blessed there. I loved the folks. But over the course of time, I got very dissatisfied with what I saw was substance over style. And it just really started nagging on me. Well, in 2000, I went through a broken engagement, and it was just a devastating situation for me. I was really heartbroken, really beat down, really down in the dumps of everything that occurred in those circumstances, right? So after about a year, the Lord told me, I got a wife for you. I want you to pray. I want you to fast for this person. And so I started doing that, praying and fasting and interceding for this person. Well, in the course of time, the Lord kept bringing this scripture back to me over and over again. I'm going to share it with you. Luke 11:9-13. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him?" And He just kept giving me that verse over and over and over. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to understand, the place I got saved and I grew in was a place that acknowledged who the Holy Spirit was or is, the third person of the Trinity, but that's as far as it went. I knew I was sealed. I knew I was saved. But I kept just saying, why do you keep asking me this? So I was at work at Henderson Manufacturing in my room by myself one day, and I was just thinking about this. And I came to the conclusion, I was like, Lord, if you keep bringing this to my attention over and over and over again, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you for more of the Holy Spirit. And here's what happened. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know that's what happened. So in the course of time, the Lord brought my precious wife. And my wife gave me, for my birthday, Oswald Chambers' biography. So I'm reading Oswald Chambers' biography. And in that book, there's a chapter called The Dark Night of the Soul, which chronicles Oswald Chambers' experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. So as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, wow, these dots are starting to connect a little bit. I think that's what happened to me. See, I equated it. I was fasting. I was praying. I was doing this and doing that. And the Lord said, like, no, this is what happened. Now, as I'm reading this book, the guys that I was teaching this Bible study, they were some college-age guys, they were meeting with the pastor at Calvary Chapel, Mount Pleasant, Dave Anderson, and he was teaching them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he gave them R.A. Torrey's book, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they come back to me as I'm reading this chapter, and they start telling me about this, and then all of a sudden you just had one of those watershed moments. I'm like, that's what happened. That's what eventually led me to leave the church that I was attending and go to Calvary Chapel. Because they had a very balanced view of who the Holy Spirit is. They have a very balanced view of who the Holy Spirit is. We want to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to be working to the Holy Spirit corporately and individually. And we want to be Spirit-filled people. We don't want Him just to be a doctrinal statement. We don't want it to be just some emotional thing where we just throw the Bible out the door and we just got to just do whatever we want to do. We want a balanced view of who He is. And I believe that when we ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit, we come to the end of ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, I can't really be the witness I need to be. I can't do it. But I know if you fill me up, man, you'll get the glory for it. Think about that for a moment. We're going to be spending quite a bit of time looking at these things, looking at these gifts, looking how the Lord's laid this thing out. And I pray every one of us in here would desire to be what God's called each of us to be individually and corporately. And everybody gets blessed. Who likes to get blessed? Yes! One more thing before we leave this morning. The spiritual life is about being a witness, and being a witness is about overflowing, and overflowing is about Jesus. Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. To our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth is about overflowing. And you know what? We've all got our Jerusalem, we all got our Judea, we all got our Samaria, and we all got to the ends of the earth. And who does our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria need? They need Jesus. That's who they need. They don't need an all-star. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're going to close this morning, I'm going to provide an opportunity. I'll be in the back. And, man, if you just want me to pray for you to be filled, or just pray together to be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe it's been a very dry time. Maybe you realize that, you know what, Lord, I've just been operating under my own strength, and you've come to the end of yourself, and you just want the Lord to fill you up. You know what? We'll pray together. We'll pray together. If you're not saved, and here's the thing, I don't have to communicate the fact that you're not saved. If you're not saved, the Lord said, hey, you're not saved, you need to get saved. If that's the case, I'm in the back as well. But be open. Be open to what God wants to do. 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 Be open to what God wants to do.